Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories. All building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week,
I think there should be a defining moment in this game where it basically asks every player, do you pivot to pause?
Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
Thomas, the Ideas Engine.
That's me. Hello.
And Matthew Castle.
Hello.
I couldn't think of anything that you... contributor.
Matthew Castle. All-round good guy.
Pretty good. All-round good guy.
Guest idea destroyer.
Ideas torpedo.
Yeah.
I've got an idea.
Give it to me.
This week.
Give it to me, big boy.
Right, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna give you the pitch, right? And we need to do a little bit of history, okay?
Oh, I thought you were going to say role play.
I'm going to do some role play.
Okay. Who am I?
A little bit of history first, okay?
Oh, okay.
So,
sure.
It's the 1940s, yeah? It's Hollywood.
Ah,
okay.
Right.
In the 1940s, I think it was late 40s, there was something called the Paramount case. We're in Hollywood, okay? So this is all to do with films, okay?
Right, okay.
Basically,
I'm in.
The Paramount case was like, it was like the United States versus Paramount Pictures. And Paramount Pictures, up to that point, had what they called, I think it was called vertical integration, where basically they owned every single part of the filmmaking process, from the development to all the way through to distribution. They owned the theaters. They hired they had actors on contract. They had all that shit.
They had kind of
a monopoly.
Please tell me the game isn't Monopoly.
It's not Monopoly. It's Monopoly.
Okay. Oh no!
I'm sorry.
I've
made Monopoly. I've just realised. okay, but anyway, the Paramount case was basically that, like, the United States saying you can't do that actually, and then everything fell apart, and it became more of what the cinema is today, with freelance actors and people just, you know, like cinemas doing their own thing all over the place. Okay. Before that, though, the studios had a lot of power. And that is when this game takes place.
Oh, that was a lovely bit of scene setting.
Thank you. Okay, so this is...
It's like being in AS Film Studies again.
I think Matthew got excited because he heard the word court case.
All right, so during the 40s, maybe this isn't 40s, maybe this is even earlier. Okay, we could even go back to silent cinema times, but what I'm thinking is...
1800s.
The beginning of cinema? Well, hang on, let me get through the idea. Okay,
1600s. Okay. How early do you want to go?
The first image that was created on dust
in
the Egyptian tombs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's say, like, I'm thinking L.A. Noir times, you know, like this is kind of the height of like the golden Hollywood era, like the kind of like 40s, mid 40s, like maybe late 30s. That time, you know, when you think of Hollywood, when you think of golden Hollywood.
Yeah.
I
think drastically problematic.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All that world, yeah. Awful, full of awful people doing awful things. You're one of them, right?
Well,
you are the owner
currently?
Of a studio.
Oh, in-game.
Currently,
okay.
Currently and in-game.
In-game, okay, good.
you are the owner of the studio. You're the head of a studio, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. And your job is to make pictures. You're making pictures, and that involves hiring stars. You're hiring directors and all these crew. And you're trying to buy out you're making your own theaters to distribute them, like basically every single part of the filmmaking process you are involved in on the you know, the top level.
Okay.
And it is up to you to manage, to create and manage a successful Hollywood movie studio.
Pre-Paramount versus United States monopoly case.
Yes. Yeah.
Trying when to you get have the monopoly.
Mega power. Yeah. When the sky is the limit, right? You okay. can fucking be God in Hollywood.
Is this just Lionheads the movies?
Yeah.
No, right? Because Lionheads the movies was a lot more, like, from what I remember at least. Actually, Matthew, could you describe Lionheads the movies, please?
Well,
I'm sure you've played it more than me.
Well, it was you're running. I thought you were running a film studio, but the at the heart of it, there was maybe a bit more of a creative element in that you were making the films, and you had some input and control over how those films looked. It almost had like a strange movie maker element yeah. inside the game, so you could like produce things. I remember that's what it was like sold on. I don't remember how complicated the business around that was.
That Lionhead? I thought that was Sims for some, or Maxis for some reason.
No, it's Lionhead.
I think it was Lionhead, yeah. I only saw it played. I never, but yeah, so this is none of that. There's no creativity,
oh,
right?
Good.
In making
oh,
movies right. at this
okay.
level.
Cool.
Right. How fun.
Or like the creativity. The creativity is on a different level. It doesn't come from making the movies. It comes from how you manage the studio. Okay.
Right.
I'm totally open to what kind of game this is and where this goes. I have ideas, obviously, but I don't want to go into it too much, like I always end up doing.
Sure.
So, Debs, what are you thinking so far?
May I go first? Thank you.
I just allowed
myself. In my mind, the first thing I thought was a little bit like Lionhead the movies, but more like how you see you have your entire lot. So it's a little bit like sort of theme hospital-esque where you build rooms. But then from the film side of things, mm-hmm. kind of like Game Dev Tycoon, where you nudge a direction and then, things tick away and you're like, oh, here's, we got some, you go, I want to make an action film, and you can see all the metrics for action films. And then you can see your last film that you did, and you can then get the audience first screen test through, and then you can make tweaks after that. But you have to put points into different Game Dev Tycoon, but without bugs. You just have, you can cut runtime, you can spend more money on like visual effects, spend less money on sound. And I think that's mm-hmm. how I imagine it. So you have the business side where you do Two Point Hospital. I'm trying to think of a more modern one.
Okay.
So you build your lots, you build the rooms, you place things in the rooms, and maybe certain things allow certain people, like a producer room needs to have certain objects in, and then you can, like in 2 Point where you have schools and stuff, you could have like an acting stage and then the sound stage and start building up lots like that. But then, yeah, you bring that over to the production side where it's much more, you have like overarching control, but you don't physically have to make the things. And then you get those profits, expenses come out, as you build more buildings, more expenses come out to pay for, the land, or if you buy more plots. Mm-hmm. And then you can, build up you can make franchises, you can build up your portfolio of films like that. That's, maybe there's, the occasional lawsuit expense, because it was those kind of times.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot more than that. I have some ideas about that stuff, but
yeah, that was my initial
James,
thoughts.
Chris hit the nail on the head. I was thinking Theme Hospital, or most recently 2 Point Hospital, in the same way that you would, cut the budget of, say, your health and safety, and then some of the actors got brained on some, special effects equipment. And then it's like, okay, now I've got to deal with this. I think there's a lot you could do with that. That's kind of it, really. Yeah, job done. Go on, Chris.
Chris, did you just think of it?
So I just thought that thing was... No, not yet. That takes time. That's the idea has to percolate, Alex. Okay. Has to come alive.
I mean, at the moment, it's 2 Point Hollywood.
Don't say that. They'll sue us. add a tycoon on the end. Yeah, no, I'm thinking, like, do you know how you get
like events that happen. It could be like big decisions that halfway through the film is like, do we spend the money and get a real lion or do we use it in visual effects? And then those have ramifications. You know, it could be like there's a 60% chance the lion attacks your main actor. And it's like, well, now we have to, you know, do we recast halfway through and reshoot or do we try and animate the actor with visual effects? I think things like that keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. And that I'm assuming the tone of this is silly because I feel like the subject matter could be quite serious depending on the...
I mean,
it's not like, so the sexual assault. And the more
we talk about this...
In Hollywood.
The more we talk about this, the more like I'm thinking tonally, it maybe is something closer to something like Crusader Kings.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Okay.
Obviously, historically, there are lots of kind of pretty horrific things that you can do in Crusader Kings, right? Like forced marriages and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it's on such this kind of macro level now, that you never get fully involved.
How
involved do you want to get?
How awful do you want this episode of Pitch Please to be? Because if we start talking about like things you can do, it's going to be bad.
No, I'm not going into, I don't mean like that level of stuff, but I'm thinking, Matthew, you had a point.
No, I really like the Crusader Kings thing. I like the idea of because if you think about that particular period in Hollywood, you've got these like big moguls. They're like big characters. Yeah. They are kind of like kings of their studios. I kind of like the idea of strategy that plays on like reputation and the people you surround yourself with because, you know, they're trying to harvest actors. That could be really cool.
Mm.
I imagine the hierarchy in my head now that like Matthew put it that way. Sorry, Alex. I poo-pooed your idea too soon. It needed someone
else cleverer to say it. Yeah.
Like, so you have obviously, you know, the owner, then you have executive producers, and it's kind of like your, what were they called? Like when you've got the priest and your, you know, war chief, like that kind of thing, but they are obviously that. And then you obviously, instead of, you have your actors, your pool of actors, and you have to, like, maybe that one doesn't like that one, so you don't put them in a film, but then, maybe he slept with his wife and you have to resolve that issue.
All kinds of debauchery going on. It's not, but then this is, okay, so this is the other side of it is that it's not like, this is Hollywood, right? So, and this is LA. So there's loads of weird shit going on, right? It's not just actors who have all these kind of like weird morals and stuff and who are difficult to manage and blah, blah, blah. And all that, but also, you've got the LAPD, notoriously crooked at that point in history.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
You also have gangsters.
Maybe there's different ways in which you can get your money. Maybe you try and align with some mob peeps and you're like, we need some money to make the film. I need you. How about instead of giving me some money, mob people, because that's what you did in the Hollywood era, I imagine. They didn't, but probably, maybe, I don't know. You send them off to other studios to completely screw up their film. They let the lion loose. And
this is all going to be a weird question. It's going to be a weird question. When did Scientology come about?
Oh, it's a bit later.
Scientology was the 60s, I think. 50s and 60s.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
that could have been nice.
The thing is, if you could go a little bit later into like the 50s, you get into all the juicy like LA Confidential kind of era stuff.
Yeah, the thing that I was kind of thinking is that like what, so if it is this kind of like Two-Point Hospital / Crusader Kings kind of thing, that on top of that, the problems that you're introducing are things like mob warfare and all this kind of, and you know, like all the kind of darker side of LA that comes with that, but also things that historically were happening around that time, like the Hayes Code, which was, I don't know if you know, like I'm sure Matthew knew what the Hayes Code is. Some of you probably heard of it already, but it's like, there was like a list of things that you couldn't do and you couldn't show in cinema.
Like a woman's ankle.
Yeah, like a man and a woman weren't allowed to be seen in bed
together. You're going to have to censor all these bits for the podcast.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Just one long bleep.
Boy, howdy.
But that doesn't have to be historically accurate, I guess. But like the idea is, I guess, that there's constant like legislation that's happening as the industry is pushing its boundaries and you're having to adapt to that. or, you know, flout it, like flout those conventions and like and breaks the, and suffer the consequences, perhaps. Or perhaps, you know, you can bribe people to help change that legislation, you know, all that kind of stuff going on.
How do you imagine starting? Do you imagine that you've got no company and you're just starting out fresh? You're like in a basement or in a garage somewhere and you're like, I'm going to start a film production company. Or are you already established, maybe like lower run compared to all of your peers or whatever, but you've got all the ingredients ready to go?
I feel like you need something. You need like something to start off with, right? Maybe you're making your first pitch. You've just made your first picture. I don't know. What is a good starting point?
I think you would have to start with money and be the head, because you need to make decisions, right? But I think maybe it does work like Crusader Kings, where, you know, you'd die and then you play as like the, you know, the co-exec the who then head. Goes up.
You get fired.
The yeah. son of the exec.
You get, you know, you get fired because there could be like a, you know, something comes out about you and then you get fired in your next, but there's a big decision you have to make where you try and cover it up, but you fail. There's a percent chance of failure. We try and pay someone off and then that person then moves up. I think that's what you get.
If you start in a established place, but you choose the position that you start in, and if you click random and you're like, oh no, I'm a woman.
Oh no,
that's hard mode.
It's 1950s. Come on.
No, it's before that. It's
well, before that. If you're going to do it, you have to say it with the, see? You have to, otherwise people won't know that you're joking.
So you're fully voice acted then, this game. We're clear on that.
You know how so in Crusader Kings, not to make the connection too, you know, to pad it out too much, but
it's done. It's where been
you
done.
Have
the
your,
connection's made.
You know, where you have like, a sort of genetic legacy where your kids are kind of like a mix of bits of you and other things can go mad. It'd be quite good to have like a creative legacy where instead of, you know, you're not birthing your replacement off because that's weird. but like the idea of the films you've made and the reputation you have does get passed on. So like no matter how successful you are, you know, you'll always have that stinker that you made 10 years ago kind of hanging over you. I like the idea of like you having to live with
a protege.
Like you made one of the worst films of all times and that is your legacy.
And then 20 years later, if that's how we're doing, like, I don't know how long, when does it end? Like, because you could do, okay, after 5 years, you can do a remake. All right, and then you try and, if you've got that in your IP pool, then you're like, okay, I'm going to try and remake that. And there's like extra things you have to do to combat the negativity of the first release. I think that, and like IP ownership is quite an interesting thing to be able to, do you like, is there a place you can then bid for new IPs and bid for ideas, or are you construct in-house?
Because having like strong IP is kind of like the film equivalent of like having really strong legs and passing them on to your hearty son.
You've inherited my IP. Yeah.
You've inherited my incredibly valuable superhero IP. Congrats. Rather than like, oh, here's all these like failed art house films, which is basically you've got really withered lungs and you're probably aren't going to make it past 10.
But I think, right, so this stuff could be, like, being able to also bring in, like, who you hire and who you work with should be incredibly important, and not just on the act. I think, like, the actors is something that we haven't got to yet, but could be really interesting. But who you're hiring in terms of producers for films and directors and that kind of stuff on the real high-level side of things will really affect how your film is received and how it's made, because you don't have you can't have control over that stuff from the top level. You just have to essentially pick the right people and put your trust in them. And like, I don't know whether that is literally a list of, you know, you press the director's tab or you press the hire tab and there's the hire window and there's a director's tab and you're like, this guy is coming over from Germany. He's one of the new German, you know, new wave, whatever they call it, cinema.
What was this set again?
I'm going to hire him. I'm going to take a risk on him. This is what happened. People like some of the golden age of Hollywood films are made by like these German exiles who have come over and all German immigrants who've come over and made like these hugely successful films. And you know, you're taking a risk on unknown people who originally made art house films or something.
Maybe as time goes on, you gain a reputation with each person, and not in like a relationship sense, but you've worked with these directors before. They're more likely to say yes to come back for your films if they're a success. Or maybe you spend a ton of money on getting this huge name director and the rest of the production is a total failure. And you're like, he hates me now. And I spent a ton of money on him. There is no way I'm getting him back now. And then he gets poached by another studio. He's suddenly making amazing films for them. And you're like, I really wish I didn't make Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2.
What am I thinking of?
There's so, like, if you stretch the timeline, if you started in like the golden age of cinema and you actually saw it through, maybe you did like 100 years of Hollywood, say, you do hit these like huge eras that shake things up in terms of the kind of studio direct dynamic.
Right,
that would create like a new act for the game. So like when you hit the 70s and all of a sudden it's like Francis Ford Coppola and Scorsese, it's the rise of the kind of the super directors, you know, they kill off some studios because you basically have to bet on these like raging narcissists. but it has a completely different vibe to like the 40s. That could be really fun. Like, you know, I love games that kind of can tap into the kind of natural changes in, you know, history of a landscape or whatever to kind of like inform like a different challenge in the game. It's a nice evolution.
How does Crusader Kings, I don't know if anyone's played enough of it to know this, but how does Crusader Kings work in terms of the decisions that you make as one king or queen or as one nation? Like how much does that influence what actually would happen in history as you carry it forth? Like, do you have a huge influence on what happens in like throughout the rest of history?
I mean, yes, but if you're asking if it aligns with actual history, no. That's the point of the game.
I'm just trying to figure out if, like, for example, like if you're, because like we were talking about like like Matthew was just saying about like the different acts in the game. Like, say if you do reach the 70s, and then like what happened in the 70s, Hollywood in our timeline, is they were like, oh, we need to try and experiment a bit more. We need to, you know, take bigger risks.
I think that's something that would naturally happen. Like if we, again, going back to that reputation versus money cost thing, I think that's something that would naturally happen where you're like, I've alienated this director. I can't use him again. I'm going to keep using my trusted ones, and they get big through the films they make. Or maybe some other guys come along and they've got these huge talent, but they're super cheap and they're willing to do anything to get into the studio. And you're like, yeah, I'll pick him up, sure. And he makes some amazing films. Yeah. So I think that those sorts of things would naturally happen through the play style, hopefully.
That's true.
I imagine it would end up that way anyway, even if it is possible to change it entirely.
I think you could, like, with all that, I think also taking in the whole, when I'm talking about, like, same within Crusader Kings, I know we keep bringing it up, but like random events that happen, but it could be the random events are, okay, sci-fi films now testing well with audiences. And you're like, oh crap, the director who left, that was his thing. But it, you know, 10 years before, no one really enjoyed those. So it's like, you do have to think ahead of what sort of, you try, as Matt, you have to bet on the right people to stay and keep under. Maybe they go, oh, I want, you know, more money. It was like, well, I'm not going to give you more money. So he leaves. But then, you know, 10 years later, all of a sudden he's making billions and you're like, oh, if only I gave him more money, I could have actually, you know, I would have gone and maybe dipped into debt, but the film I did after brought me back into the black. And I think that's where you could get really interesting sort of dynamics of who you want to keep around, because it's not, you know, just about what's happening right now. It's like, okay, in 5 years' time, if I keep them happy, what could be? I mean, that's what Hollywood tries to do. I mean, they do it. It's all like, I don't know, AI generated algorithms, like who's the best actor to be in this film based on Twitter. And it's like, great. Yeah. Thanks, Chris Pratt, Mario. But like, you know, you're doing that with, maybe there's like a weekly newsletter, like, oh, horror films up 25%. You're like, oh, good, I'll make a horror film. And by the time that film is sort of written, maybe you have to choose between three scripts and they each have stats on, which are like, okay, you know, this has 20% jump scares or this one has more atmosphere. And by the time that's all done, you've got to hope that that payoff is still there, because you know, films take
right,
time
I see.
To
yeah,
make.
Yeah, the amount of time that it's going to get based on how.
I mean, yeah, it's the same with the games industry. People try and catch on to trends, but sometimes the trend is too late. I mean, look at Battle Royales. Yeah, sometimes the trend, you're too late to that trend and you just fail miserably.
Tell that to Squid Game in Roblox.
That's true.
It's back, baby. He's back.
Did Roblox ever leave? He just sort of left it on its own in the corner.
Considering what Chris was saying, it's like you can have a lot of fun with actual historical events. If we're going to travel through time, as it were, you know, around the 80s, you can have the VHS and Betamax fight, and then like, how horror films had a boom within is that not how they decided?
Well, I mean,
they just
that
lobbed cassettes
thing,
at each
right?
other.
Your actor, well, you actors, yeah, yeah, one of your actors yeah. is drafted, and you're like, okay.
Oh, I
shit.
See.
Like they could be like genuine, especially if we're starting, you know, in the 40s.
I think there should be a defining moment in this game where it basically asks every player, do you pivot to porn? And that is just like, that is the decision every person has to make when video technology becomes like affordable.
Oh yeah, sure, of course.
But then the internet comes around and then you lose all of your money. Boom. Yeah. Right. There we go.
But that's a genuinely interesting mechanic. Like if you look how DVD sales have dropped off, like that could be a big thing. You're like, okay, I'm gonna, because they have to make those in advance. They don't just appear.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I'm
like
going
you're
back
putting
to
a lot of money in.
What you were saying before, I like the idea of having this sort of ecosystem of all these characters that are across the entire world. Because the problem I have with Crusader Kings is you could look at a nation halfway across the world from you. You're never going to interact with them. There's characters in there that you will never even think about. And you look at them 20 years later, it's like, oh no, Alfredo Puerto's died. Never spoken to him. And it's now his son is in control. And there's loads of characters there, but you're not interacting with any of them. I like the idea that if you look at a director list, you can see every director currently active. And you could, you know, there's some that are unemployed, so you could hire them. They're untested, sure. There's some that are employed by other studios, so you could try and poach them in some way. Or some that are mid-production, for example, you're like, oh, that'd be even harder to yank them from that, but I'm going to try.
Poach mid-production. Mid-production
poaching.
Oh, yeah, that's when you have to sabotage the production.
Well, yeah, and I like knowing, you know, these are the actors currently active. How do I get them if I want them? Also, I think we should figure out what the product you're actually making in this studio is. Obviously, it's films, but how do we actually interact with these products? Like, when you make a film, you know, if it's a total flop, do you then sell the IP for a chunk of money? And then like 10 years later, maybe it becomes a cult classic and you're like, oh, fuck, I sold this for like 2 million. And now millions of people are watching it because it's a cult classic. This film that I thought was a total flop, I need to buy it back.
Yeah, if you,
so I can make
a sequel
or something.
If you own the rights to something, or you own like, there could be the whole like the storage thing of like, I've made all these films. I have all this shit in storage. I have like the original print storage, but it's costing me a lot per month, per year or whatever to keep it up. Do we just chuck them? Which is what happens to thousands of films, which have disappeared and we're never able to recover.
I mean, yeah.
Because
maybe,
people just didn't think about it.
Maybe you could formulate some actual, like you could try and make these events happen where you're like, we made this film. It was totally shit. We're going to burn the copies as soon as we can. And then all of a sudden it becomes this legendary film. Have you seen this film?
Because
the copies are gone.
It'll be like Doctor Who, where they have to try and find people that taped it off the TV and they've got like an old VHS on their cupboard somewhere. But I like the idea that there could be actual random events as well. So like, you know, movie studios having bad fires and losing loads of copies of their film. And they're like, we've missed half of our film. What do we do? And you kind of cobble together a bunch of footage and stuff like that.
Or even like super late into production. Like you're about to release this film and then the main actor is involved in some scandal. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
You reshoot the whole film.
And you don't
reshoot
the whole film. Just sit on it for 5 years and then release it.
Whenever that happens, you always get the choice to digitally replace them with Christopher Plummer. And it's just always that. And it's every single time there's a Christopher
1920s.
Plummer. 1920s. Yeah,
model
get Plummer on the phone.
Plummer.
We got a
DVD. Someone get the Plummer. I think like we haven't really even talked about the idea of back in those days when the studios had so much power that they were able to control every single level of the production and the distribution. And in terms of like Originally, I was thinking of it as a kind of like, not necessarily a global thing, but just like LA. This is Hollywood. We're in Hollywood. These are the other studios that are here physically on the map. And these are the cinemas that are owned. Like, you can literally, you know, you buy out the cinemas and you own them and you choose what films you're going to put there. And maybe there are certain areas of the city that will like certain films more. And so you can choose, you can literally, like, I don't know whether it's a drag and drop system or if it's like a, I don't know what that is, but if you're literally saying, okay, I want these movies played in this affluent area because these are the kind of audience who are going to watch this, and I want these movies played downtown, or whether it needs to be on a bigger level than that.
It could be a bunch of like independent cinemas that sprout up, and then you've got to try and crush them down because they're taking all your business away.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Do we get to design Destroy the them. Cinema as well? I must say, do I get to pick
the
out
cinema?
What chairs we've got? Yeah,
comes to soon.
Yeah, it becomes the same.
I feel like that is getting too close to like the movie style, Lionhead style. Like, that feels to me like
it's a bit granular.
Yeah, like a bit of an add-on thing that probably would be a bit underwhelming. If you
so I don't get to choose Red Vines or Twizzlers. It's
I think
that,
it should be based on the actions that you've taken as time goes on. If you've done some really gruesome things and it's just like a really dark, miserable cinema.
It looks like the Tower of Sauron.
Yeah.
We're a really bad guy.
With a cinema on the ground floor, obviously. Yeah.
However, if you do great, if you're doing a good job and you're just a nice, nice guy, it's gold. It's like heaven.
Well, there's a morality system that is changes the way your buildings look, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Just your Hollywood.
And the studio lot has like basalt spikes coming out of it. And you're like, excellent.
I mean, it could be like, you could go down to the level of like, maybe you don't actually see what it looks like on the interiors, but you could be choosing in a theme park style way. Like, you know, whereas with theme park, you're saying, I want X amount of salt in this stand and these drinks in this stand.
Oh, well,
you can say
very specific like details.
Literally.
I mean, that was on like,
very granular.
That was on the Amiga and like the, what?
Oh, no,
I don't
sure.
Know,
but
if it's just like an option in a list, like if you can click on the actual cinema and rather than just like going in and planning it in a kind of Sims way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. If you're just saying like, these are the key features.
My worry is that if you go, so with Crusader Kings, obviously we're mentioning this a million times because I guess it's the most similar in style, I think.
Yeah.
If you go really in depth of this is how much this particular soldier is being paid, like no one's going to do that because in the grand scale of the game, it makes such a small difference.
Yeah,
I don't think in a studio filmmaking running game, I don't think anyone's going to look at the popcorn and say too salty.
But you would look at like, are we paying the biggest star in the world the right amount?
Contract negotiations, because that is obviously thematically a big, like a big thing you could fuck up.
Well, that was huge on like, especially back in those days, initially, like when the game starts out, as well as that you own these actors, you know, they are contractually obliged to make X pictures with you. And I guess the kind of contracts that you draft up, like that is going to affect your reputation and your ability to get other kinds of actors.
I've not played Crusader Kings, shock, right? what does this look like to you? What does it look like? What does the game look like? Have you just got a lot of pictures of people that are on your employ? Is it just, what am I looking at?
2 Point Hospital.
I think you're seeing a map of like LA or Hollywood, or that surrounding area. So kind of like Crusader Kings, but closer in, right? So you can see the streets and you can see all the buildings and stuff, and you're moving around that map. And you have like a bunch of these different windows that you can bring up for stats, depending on what you're doing at any one time.
Okay.
I mean, perhaps like the image, like it could just as easily be an image of you at a desk, but I feel like maybe there's some interaction there that we can do with the map. I don't know.
That sort of leads into what I was going to say, because when Tom mentioned earlier about Crusader Kings, where you know, there's someone else in the world you're never going to interact with. And then you mentioned the map of LA. It's basically the map of LA to Crusader Kings is they're tight knit countries. Each studio is a country, if you understand my analogy. And I click on, you know, whatever our fake name for Universal is, and I go, okay, go into talks to, you know, gain IP, like get IP, or like the things you can, instead of like declaring peace, it's like enter,
right.
you know,
yeah.
IP
yeah,
talks.
You see
and
their
like that.
Studio head.
Yeah, that's
their
the
desk.
High level. That's the high level stuff. And then if you you click on your zone, and then you go in, and that's to me where it looked a bit more like your 2-point hospital theme hospital style. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna place a plot over here, but that's gonna cost me this much because that land. I also need to buy a plot of land over there because that is a big part of it. You do need space to make these movies. Otherwise, you could
expanding
be
expanding
like,
your territory.
Yeah, but otherwise, you could say, you know, film on an external lot. It would cost you this much, but or I could spend $1 million and I can make loads more movies here. It's 10 times more the amount. I can, you know, I don't have to keep paying external. And then going in more granular to that would be, hey, there's a new movie. What do you want to make? And you tick the, okay, I want to make a sci-fi thriller. And then I drag the production like budget and I go there. Okay. And then I'm going to drag the visual effects slider to, you know, 3 out of 5. And then it gets into a bit more game dev
slider
title.
Of how many ankles. How, many
yeah, yeah. Like, how high does the skirt go? I just realized I've got my leg out. I am on shorts.
That'd be great if the, meter was actually a leg that you're raising.
But it's capped. It's hard capped until time goes forward.
Yeah.
You can't go any higher.
From a visual point of view, there's something that I really like the idea of seeing like a film unravel in front of you. So you see the actors filming scenes or you see them building sets and, you know, you can fast forward time and you can just see it all start to come together. Yeah. And then if stuff goes wrong. Yeah.
I mean, The Sims did that, right, with Sims Hollywood.
Could it be just like an overview of your lot? And you can see people moving about, wandering around outside, coming out of their trailers, building sets, all that kind of stuff.
I was imagining it like you just see it as almost as districts where you click on this building, this is doing this thing, and you assign it jobs or change the budget or whatever else. And you see who's in charge of this part of the studio and they're doing their thing. They're getting angry. Why are they getting angry? They aren't getting paid enough. Okay, I'll need to figure that out. You click on another area, reduce their wages, whatever. and treating it like, in a way, like Kerbal Space Program with the actual space thing that you're building. You can click on the individual buildings and just see the jobs they're doing. Like
Each
this is
a
research
purpose.
Area. Yeah, this is a research area. This is the tech area where they're trying to, you know, find out about all the grand new cameras that are being built. Wow, this one can film in 460p.
What about I'm intrigued to Matt, like obviously was it Matt that suggested Crusader Kings originally?
Might have I think been. It was
I don't remember
someone did but someone yeah, like Matthew what was your suggested what's like how are you seeing this?
Yeah, I must admit I'm more interested in like the personality idea of it. I really love the idea of like Hollywood is like business but also meet celebrity. So people have, you know, people have good business sense, but you're also up against people being famous and the clout that comes with that. And that's, to me, seems like quite an interesting kind of mass of people to kind of negotiate rather than like the nitty gritty of the individual like buildings and things like that. It's more like I'm much more interested in like the big power players and kind of top line stuff. The good thing about setting it in the olden times is that you have like studios who have people on staff, basically sort of they retain actors. And I do like the potential for comedy in having to like fire people when you think they're past it and just having to say like, you're done in this town, because that happens a lot.
You're a woman and you're over 35. You're done.
Yeah. Well, there was a point where I think was it late 20s when they switched over when suddenly sound came in, and so many of the big actors who were from silent cinema just stopped being employed because they sounded weird. Like people didn't like their voices, so they just hired a bunch of people who had much better voices and acted, you know, more appropriately for sound. Isn't and you'll that, have to do all that kind of stuff.
Isn't that the entire plot?
That's what I'm in for. Cruelty.
What film was that?
Oh, The, was it The Artist?
The Artist,
you know, the one that... Yeah. There you go. Bam. The wow. Artist, the game.
I made a film reference. Holy shit.
All right. Again, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I want to kind of still chat about, but we've got to finish.
We do.
And I don't know, like Tom, I went in, well, not really knowing what this was. I feel like I've made a, like we've basically made a game that is too complicated for me to play for my brain, but I'm really excited. I really want to see it. I feel like this might appeal to your kind of,
I can see it, but I think, again, we've all got slightly different visions. Like again, Crusader Kings. I like basically taking that format and shifting it over. So you've got your studio, that is your nation, and you click on the different buildings and there's all your experts doing their things. And you're the studio head that's, you know, running the entire thing. Maybe one day you get ousted and you get taken over by someone else and you play a different role in the studio to try and build your way back up or blow your way back up. And then you zoom out and you see the other studios. You see all the other studios doing their things. You see their, you know, there's a line going from this studio to this cinema. They've just released this amazing new film and their popularity is going through the roof and they're gaining tons and tons of money. What actors did they use to make this film? I've got to try and grab Comtruse, which is actually the name of a band, but I've got to grab Comtruse because he's doing great right now to make Mission Impossible 4. How do I make Mission Impossible 4? I need to buy the IP.
Mission Impossible, Tom. Let's keep it.
I need to borrow money from the mob.
I need to borrow money from the plane scene. Or send some people over there to fuck up their production. Let loose the bear to maul the actor. and I like it a lot. I think also there should be a way to fund audience research as well, and that can help you a ton. Like if you put tons and tons of money into audience research, you can see there's an inkling of sci-fi coming up and you can go ahead of the curve and try and generate the new films for an audience that don't even know they want it yet.
And then one of your producers
I love this.
Betrays you and takes that info to Universal Studio. I don't know why I changed the word studios.
Universal Studios.
That's when you press the Christopher Plummer button. You're like, get Plummer to sort him out.
Yeah.
Just the work.
All right.
Well, I like it. I think it could be something that could be put together quite nicely. It depends how nitty gritty you get with it, though. I don't think we should be changing the amount of salt in the popcorn.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I agree.
But also, I think maybe deciding where in America we're sending these films. Are we sending this risque gay film to Texas? No. No, we are not.
Chris, final thoughts?
Yeah, I really like it. Like, it's interesting. I think people like films and, you know, everyone thinks they could make films.
Good observation.
Thank you. Everyone thinks they can make films or, you know, but I like the
can you
sort of backstabbing that goes with it from the olden days, the lawless times. Yeah.
The old west
of cinema.
Yeah, it's not the kind of game that I normally go for, as you can probably tell from my contribution. But there's something that I really like about the idea of there being real characters and, you know, that you could try and win them over by sending them a car or, like, you know, you've got all these gifts that you can interact with each person with and rogue directors. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. So
that's the side of it I'm thinking of, like Crusader Kings, but light. And made with, you know, with more character, more approachability.
Dumb Crusader Kings.
Crusader Kings for dummy. Matthew, what are your thoughts?
That sounds like a dream game. I love hearing about complex politics and strategies in Crusader Kings. I'm too thick to play it. But if you frame it in the language I understand of, like, stupid movies and popcorn, I'd actually be really up for this.
Holy shit. All right.
You've done it.
Refreshing, more refreshing pitch from the usual drivel that we get around here, isn't it?
Unbelievable. You're telling me that this was a refreshing... Okay, let's just go back to the core of this pitch.
No, sorry, Tom,
it's Crusader Kings, but film. Fuck's sake.
You're right, yeah, I have actually just done that. I have just
done one of the worst things that Tom loves the most.
No, I'm sorry. If you, listening, have any ideas of how this might play out in your head, what it looks like, what things you would put in or take away from what we've said, you can just let us know. I don't know where, though. Where is it? I can't think for the life of me, Tom.
No idea.
Where can they let us know?
No clue.
All right. Well,
James, maybe you know.
No, I don't think I do. I think it's got an O in it, or is that gone now?
I think that's gone.
I'm sorry. Look, it's Pitch Please Pod with no vowels. I took it out and then I forgot to update the YouTube description, so it was even more confusing.
Yep.
I've done that now. It's updated. Thank you. Please let us know there. Also, if you're listening, just rate our podcast. Give it, I don't know, whatever the rating system is on Spotify. Is it stars?
Five stars. It only supports five stars.
So we're at 100% on Spotify. Stars, thanks very much, everyone. That's great. Great.
Thank you.
So if you could comment and just say the words five stars, that would be great. I think that counts.
just five stars.
thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Chris, I don't think you got enough credit for the Christopher Plummer does the wet work
joke. Thank you.